Hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. We are here at Gams Creek Church, and we are excited to be here. We have a few things to announce. First of all, we have potluck after church, and then our annual business meeting after the potluck. So I hope everybody stays and eats and joins in our business meeting. And then we have a prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. I encourage you to join us for prayer. Yeah, it's great to get together and pray and just lift everybody from the church, especially up to the Lord. So I think prayer is very important. We have gleaners on Wednesdays, 11 o'clock here. If you come a little before 11 and they open up at 11, they've got lots of good things. And so that's a great time for people. And then if you know somebody that is in need, be sure and give them either Sherry or Helen's number, and they will gladly meet them here and give them some food. Help them in any way that we can. And I think that is it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the beautiful weather that you have supplied us with, Lord, and the sunshine. And we just pray that today it's your sun's shine, Lord, that he shines on each one of our hearts. And we just lift this time up to you, Lord, as we sing praise to you and as we listen to what you've put on Teresa's heart. Let all of the rest of the world just fall away and let us just concentrate and see your face in all of it. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this time that we can be together. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So we'll stand to go to the call to worship, and it's Psalms 105, verses 1 through 6. From the Message. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are. And always with the utmost courtesy, keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath.
Oh, I love that.
It's better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to be punished for doing bad. That's what Christ did definitively. Suffered because of other sins, the righteous ones for the unrighteous ones. He went through it all, was put to death, and then made alive to bring us to God.
Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Lord, for his word. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to start the worship with It Is Truly Wonderful.
Yay. He pardoned my transgressions, he sanctified my soul, he honors my confessions. Since by his blood I'm whole. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name. He brings me through affliction. He leaves me not alone. He's with me in temptation. He keeps me for his own. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to his name. He keeps me firm and faithful. His love I do in joy. For this I shall be grateful and live in His employ. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful. It is truly wonderful what the Lord has done. Glory to His name.
Right.
Great is the Lord, He is holy and just. By His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true. By His mercy He proves He is love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice. Now lift up your voice. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, He is holy and just. By His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true. By His mercy He proves He is love. Great are You, Lord, and worthy of glory. Great are You, Lord, and worthy of praise. Great are You, Lord, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice. Great are You, Lord. Great are You, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take find me, all my fears and failures, fill my eyes again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, you can move the mountains. You are the mighty to save. You are mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. And conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the
You're the
may be seated.
Woohoo, I made it. No better place to make it to, amen? I think we walked in, we parked, and we heard the bell go, and it's like, saved by the bell. Thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, but as you as your body physically matures, you move a little slower in the morning, and yesterday I spent 8 hours working on a new fence between our property and the Department of Forestry office. And a former neighbor who lived across the driver from us, Tanner, while he was growing up in high school, I had occasional conversations with him, right? I'm just trying to plant a seed, just water a little, right? Just because I know his past with his mom was really rough when he was living with his grandparents across the alley from us. And you know, his grandpa was really his dad, but I was that other guy, that weird uncle kind of. And he just needed someone to talk to from time to time. And that was great to get to be that person. And as his grandpa got closer to death, I got to be that a little bit more often. And he had a girlfriend at that time, still does have the same girlfriend. And Sarah got to come alongside me too and interact with him. It's been great. Well, his girlfriend has a job at ODF right across the way with an office looking out the window at me building a fence. And the story goes, he calls me up Friday night. Would you like me to come out with an auger and help you dig those holes tomorrow? I'm like, yes, please. So, praise God Almighty. Because he works so hard, I try to keep up with the young guy. I know what that's like now. And he worked me hard, and I have muscles I don't remember in my body. And Dawson back there worked hard too, and he's got muscles he doesn't know about yet that are developing. Yeah, it just, thank you, God, for your hands and feet being hands and feet that yet has to come to know you as God. That's where I really wanted to go with this, right? Is it doesn't have to be a Christian that can be God's hands and feet. God can use anybody, and he used our former neighbor in a big way to bless me yesterday. I know it's a long story for a praise, but that's my praise, and I'm sticking to it. Amen. So, yeah. Anybody else? A praise or a prayer request they want to share? Well, wait a minute. I think I skipped offering, huh? Well, let's back up. Let's do offering, and then we'll continue past my story. If the ushers will come forward. See how I'm excited about what God's doing? Come on up, Jeremy. You ready? Lord, thank you for the many blessings you give us, the hands and feet you bring our way, the help you bring in time of need. Even when we forget to seek it out, you still provide it. Thank you for that, Lord, not only in our finances, but in friendships and relationships that you bring our way. Amen. Thank you. All right, now, any other praises out there? Judy. Ooh, Lori Cooper, right? Okay. Yeah. So prayer for Lori Cooper, getting out of rehab, being able to come home. She's been losing a lot of weight. So pray that she can get back on a regular diet when she gets back home. Just like the food at rehab. Okay. Yeah, sometimes they do very protective diets. That's not bad. Oh, that is weird. Anybody else for a prayer request or praise? Fred. Didn't that just pass the substation out there? Yeah. Melba, what was the last name again? Harmon. Harmon. Melba Josie. That's a name I remember. Josie for some reason. Yeah. Big barn property just past Balm Grove, past the substation right there. It's where she was. So Melba Harmon passed away. So prayer for her husband, Dave? Okay. Well, then they just grew up down the road from each other. That's awesome. Sarah. Yeah, so that's my brother-in-law, Mark Culbertson. So praise for a good surgery, prayer for ongoing healing. He tore ligaments in his thumb, and they had to repair it immediately, or it would have been a bigger problem later in life. He does deliveries for a meat company and cuts meat for a meat company. He works so hard, and the testament to his character is that his boss is going to have somebody go with him on the route to do the heavy lifting, but have him come back early so they don't have to lose as much income. So praise God for a good boss, too, in this situation. So, Fred. Yep. My next younger brother, I have a couple, is moving to Cape Cod, Massachusetts to work at Barnstable High School. And he will be a math teacher there. And he's excited about that change. But it's a big change. Yeah. So prayer for my brother as he makes that transition. And prayer for us, because we're going to have to communicate through text messages more than in person now. So, yeah. Anybody else? Carolyn. Yay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been a story. Don't ever give a car as an inheritance across state lines. Because it's a nightmare. Yeah, prayer that the DMV can help you get that sorted out. Absolutely. And praise for a new car, however you get it, you know. Yep. Yeah, God is bigger than state regulations. Amen. Anybody else? I think I saw Bill. Amen. Bill's prayer request is to pray for him to be used at work, but even more, to be receptive and in tune for the moments that's supposed to happen. Yeah. Amen. Anybody else want to raise their hand on that one? Yeah. Debbie. Amen. Debbie's prayer request is for the right family who needs her house as a blessing to find it during this open house today and yesterday. Amen. She said the open house yesterday was incredibly busy and only went about 4 hours too long. So that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Judy. Yeah. It's more than a praise. Yeah. So Judy's lifting up her grandson, Josh, one of my former youth kids when I was a youth pastor here years ago. And I love him dearly. And he has been sober for 1 year. So that's a huge praise. It's a huge praise. Yep, that is huge. I hope I run into him again at another restaurant and give him another big hug. Anybody else have a praise or a prayer request? Yep. Prayer for camp meeting upcoming and prayer for all the youth camps going on right now. It's all our state activities. Absolutely. Bill. So prayer for the state men's retreat coming up. Weekend of August 19th, and what was the theme again? What can I do, God? Okay. So prayer for that upcoming event. Anybody else? Sherry. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I don't know if you're on the prayer chain on the group me here, but it's been great to see his attitude in his writing and sharing of that with the whole congregation, that he is on the mend now. Joshua Culver. Yeah. Our brother Josh. He's battling hepatitis, getting over it, and it's going to be a little while for his body to recover, but prayer for it to happen quickly. He's really missed coming and working with the food ministry here. Yeah. And it sounds like Sherry's missed having him. Yeah. Anybody else? All right, let us go together as a family and pray. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings you give. Personal on my heart, Lord, the hands and feet you sent me yesterday were just the perfect timing, Lord, to get over a big hump in a project. Thank you, Father, for that. And Lord, for all the many blessings you bring to us, just because you are God Almighty, just because you love us endlessly, just because you look on us with unconditional positive regard, every silly thing we do, because of your great love for us, because you died for us, because of your great love for us. Thank you, Lord, for those many things you've done and will do for us. Many of the praises lifted up here for help, for new transportation, for healing that is happening, for changes in health conditions that are for the positive, getting to come home from rehab. Lord, for a house on the market and a busy open house day, which bodes well. Lord, for all these many things that are just praises, we lift them to your throne with grateful hearts and say thank you. And Lord, there are many needs here in this congregation as well. Praises that healing has started, but prayer for it to continue. Prayer for life changes, and big relocations across the country. And prayer for a house to sell and finish a transition in life. Lord, so many needs physically as well for ongoing healing. Lord, I think of Lori Cooper, Lord, and I just ask you to help her transition home and back to a steady diet and back to something that is, quote, normal. As far as this world goes, the only thing that's constant is change and you. So thank you, Lord, for guiding us through all of it. Lord, thank you for helping hands, and thank you for healing hands with surgery this last week. Lord, we ask you continue to heal quickly Mark Culbertson so he can return back to work to support his family. Lord, thank you so much for him having a great boss. And Lord, for work, again, we ask that for each and every one of us, nudge us just right to get our attention with the Holy Spirit when the time is right to share the great things you have done with our coworkers, with our supervisors, in a way that lifts you up and blesses them. Show us when and how to water. And Holy Spirit, you do the knocking on the door. And we'll just step right in when you open it. Lord, now we lift up this nation and we ask that you bring revival to its leadership. You bring revival to all of our leaders, whether political or in other government structures, or Lord, whether they are leaders in our schools, leaders in our churches, leaders in our community organizations. But Lord, bring revival back to this land. Bring revival back to our hearts. And every day fall fresh on us. Lord, we lift up those in leadership. You tell us to pray for them, and so we do. And Lord, whether they follow you or whether they don't follow you, they need prayer. So, Lord, we lift them up. Give them wisdom. Holy Spirit, knock on the doors of the hearts of our leaders. Crack them open. Give them your peace. Give them your wisdom, that they may lead wisely and make us a shiny city on a hill. Amen. All right, kids, come up. We're going to pray for you still. Even if we don't have children's church, we're going to pray for our kids. I think somebody really likes children's church. Hey, Bubba, come here. Landed James Marple. Come here. I have a job for you. Come here. I have a job for you. Come here. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell the people that do children's church how much you like it. You tell them? Do you like children's church? Yeah, okay. What would you like to say to the people that do children's church?
Thank you.
All right, let's say a prayer. Father, Lord, thank you for those who are here for family in all its forms, Lord. Kingdom family, earthly family, and the wonderful blend of both. Lord, thank you for these children because they are the next generation of your kingdom. Lord, rule in their hearts above all things that would touch their hearts, that you would be a guidance in every decision for them, even when their parents have gone on to glory. Lord, rule in all of our hearts to touch and love and guide these children. And Lord, give rest to those who so dutifully do so. Amen. All right, guys, let's go back.
Church.
I love how Big Brother helps his little brother. That's totally awesome. It's how we should be in the family of God. Helping our brothers and our sisters, right? Helping our siblings so that they're successful. Praise the Lord for that wonderful example. We are still on the journey watching Jesus as he prepares his disciples for ministry. And today, we will see him teaching the disciples how to pray for results. Our text is taken from Luke chapter 11. And now, one of the things you have to recognize about Luke is that he's different from the other gospels in that he highlights Jesus' prayer life. He tells us a lot about the times when Jesus is praying. He makes it a priority to record how Jesus practiced that spiritual discipline of prayer. So in the book of Luke, we see times when Jesus is recorded as going away from the crowds to pray. And in this particular passage in chapter 11, one of his prayers is recorded. So read with me Luke chapter 11, and we'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He's talking about John the Baptist. And Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. And then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, "A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat." And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I, we're all in bed. I can't help you." But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, he says, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You, fathers, he says to the crowd, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So, if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen to God's word. What a fascinating story. We have to call out, back to what I was saying in the opening before our scripture, that Luke takes note of Jesus' routine practice of prayer. So Luke has set up for us, this is what Jesus does. This is who he is. He is a man of prayer. He prays all the time. Now, the other gospels don't really highlight this fact as much as Luke does. And here's a few times just within those first chapters of Luke taking notice of the times that Jesus goes and prays. Chapter 3, when Jesus is actually getting baptized, Jesus is praying. Now, how do they know that? Maybe he was uttering something out loud, right? They know that he is praying. So chapter 3 of Luke. Chapter 5 of Luke. Jesus, this is what the scripture says. Jesus was praying. He withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So it's showing he goes away from the people and he prays. Jesus went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. This is what you find in chapter 6 of Luke. Jesus again going away and then having a night vigil. He prays literally all night. It's recorded again another time that Jesus is praying in chapter 9. Jesus was alone praying, the scripture says. Fascinating that Luke does this. Chapter 9 again, verses 28 and 29. This is the description. Soon after, Jesus went up into a mountain to pray, and as he prayed, he was transfigured. Remember that story? And then lastly, in chapter 11, today's scripture, and it just simply says, in a certain place, Jesus was praying. So it's fascinating that Luke paints this portrait of Christ because he's showing us if we want to be like Jesus, if we want to be prepared for ministry as his disciples, we too must be connected to God himself, just as Jesus was. And how do we do that? Constant prayer. Jesus achieved fellowship with God by having constant routine prayer life. So when you get to chapter 11, there's an unnamed disciple who simply says, you know, he sees Jesus praying, he or she sees him praying, and says, hey, can you teach us, just as John the Baptist taught his disciples, how to pray? Now, when you read that scripture, growing up, I've always read that scripture as Jesus is literally going to teach them, these are the words to say, these are the things to be praying about, right? But that's actually not what that disciple is asking. What that disciple is asking is, Lord, show us how to live in communion with God like you do, because you have a lifestyle of prayer. You know, because if Jesus were only praying on occasion, like on special occasions, at the feast or at the festivals, I think all of the gospel writers would have said that. Oh, and so Jesus went to the temple on such and such day, the Day of Atonement, to pray. He's not doing that, though. He's praying all the time. And so they actually can't record every single time he was praying, because he was praying all the time. And his life reflected his prayerfulness, his practice of always going to the Father and talking with him. And so that disciple is saying, show us how to live that life of prayer. Not just give us those words. Because remember this, all of the Jewish people back then, they knew how to pray. Prayer was nothing new to them. They've been praying all along before Jesus even came on the scene, right? So they don't need to be taught literally what are the words, what are the mechanics of praying, because they've already been praying. So when they ask, it's show us how to be in communion like you are with God. Give us that model that we need to follow. And so Jesus, his response, teaches the disciples about their relationship to God. Because right out the gate, he says, look at God like a father. And I think he tells them that because there's probably so many people back then, as there are now, who view God as this distant, great being out there who has all power. A righteous God, an all-knowing God, a God who can judge, but not necessarily a God who's so tender, loving, and caring, and wants to be an individual relationship with each of us. I think maybe at that time, the Jewish community maybe looked at God as the God of Egypt. Well, when Israel was in Egypt, he was that God that who was the God of the plagues, right? But he also was demanding and required sacrifice. So they may have seen him as that all-powerful being who demands obedience and requires sacrifices, which kind of makes him like the other gods. Because the other gods of the day did the same thing. You know, if you wanted it to rain, you needed to offer certain sacrifices. If you wanted your land to produce the things that you wanted, you needed to go to your God and make those required sacrifices so that your land would be productive. And God is saying to his people, no, don't confuse me with those gods. I'm not one of them. I want to have an actual relationship with each of you. Why? Because I am like a human father who cares for his children. So I think that's what was happening for the people of that day. They got caught up on that distant God. And they completely forgot about all the other ways that God shows up for us. You know, if you go back in Old Testament scripture, God is described as a mother, that mother hen who gathers her chicks under her wings, right? God is loving and kind and forgiving and merciful. So again, if you go back in Scripture, you see all those names that are given to God because he shows up as provider. He shows up as almighty. He shows up as the God of shalom, as the God of peace. But if you're in your head, you always remember that God who did the plagues on those Egyptians. And then, you know, right? You may forget about the other ways that God shows up. And so Jesus tells them right away, I think many of you have it wrong. You're going about your prayers as if this is a requirement of some type. And if you don't pray, then God's going to whack you. No, it's not that. He is your Father who loves you and wants to be in relationship with you. So Jesus tells them, first of all, that's who God is. He's not distant and all powerful. He wants our obedience, and our life should be a living sacrifice to him, but it's not those sacrifices of old. So people were confused about that, forgetting that God really wants their trust and he wants to know us intimately. Now, the body of the prayer teaches that once you have established that relationship with God, you realize he loves you like a father loves his child. We can then experience the rest of the prayer, his provision, his forgiveness, his guidance from his Spirit. And thus, we will want to build his kingdom, right? And again, we've talked about this before. Too many people are flip-flopping the equation. Let me do all these things, and then God will love me. No, Jesus is saying you need to have a relationship with God. And then all of those things will fall rightly into place. When you truly love God, you will love the human beings around you. When you truly love God, you will recognize his forgiveness. And then you can be forgiving and you can extend grace to others because you have been in relationship with a God who has extended grace to you. And it's like, yes, I know who God is. So in your life, all the human beings around you, that's how you approach life. And this is what Jesus is trying to show them. You can't feel like that. You're going to run out of patience with people. Trust me, you will, because they're going to work your nerves. Some people wake up in the morning, Pastor Ivan, and they're like, I have a nice list of people I'm going to irritate today. Let's see. Sister Vicky, Sister Carolyn, Sister Linda. They have their list. And so when they come at you, you might be tempted to do like them and go like, you know what, you're really getting on my nerves. Let me get even with you. But when you've been walking in constant relationship with God and you've been communing with him, you'll notice those people who have you on their list. You'll see them coming and you'll smile and you'll say, I'm ready. I'm ready to show you love. I'm ready to shower you with kindness because I already know what you're up to. Just like Jesus did. He knew when his enemies were coming, how they were plotting things against him. And he would just sit there and look at him and shake his head like, here we go again. He knew. If you don't have that communion with God, your patience is going to run out, Susie. And then you're going to act like the person who's coming at you for you. But when you have been in communion with him, you're going to be able to understand where they're coming from. Understand that, yes, I know, they're just wanting to battle their will. They want things to happen a certain way. It's okay. I get it. You give them grace. You understand where they're coming from. You can actually offer a prayer for them. That doesn't mean you have to go and lay hands on the person. I'm going to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. You don't have to do that. But you can smile at them and pray in your mind, in your heart, Jesus, help me to have patience with so-and-so. I already see them coming, Lord. I know that they are here to cause trouble. But I want you to be glorified in this situation. So help me to have the right words to say. Help me to keep a smile on my face as I interact with so-and-so. This is what the disciples wanted to know. How do we do that? Because that we know is what God really wants from us. This is how we build God's kingdom. Not beating people over the heads with the Bible and scriptures and quoting it at them every time. No, it's actually communing with God on a regular basis so that we become so full of Him, no matter where we are, He just oozes out of us. We can't even help it. He just oozes out of us. That's that lifestyle of prayer. That's when we will experience His provision. That's when we can offer forgiveness that we have been forgiven. This is how we listen to His Holy Spirit, who's guiding us. So when we pray, we're not alerting God to what's happening on earth, right? Newsflash. In case you were thinking that, you actually were informing God of what was happening. You know, you're giving Him that action play by play. He actually already knows. He already knows. And so I think he gets tickled sometimes. He's like, oh, especially when he sees me coming. Oh, here comes baby girl. I bet she's going to tell me the whole thing of what had happened. And he just sits there and he listens to me patiently. And he says, yes, I know. I know what happened. Isn't that something? Now, so what are you going to do next time that happens? And then me, I'm like, wait, what now? Well, see, that's why I'm coming to you, because I want you to do, get them and get them and get them and do this and do that. And he's like, really? How are you showing people who I am through you? And then Sister Susie, I'm stumped, because then I'm like, oh, I thought when I came to pray, you were supposed to give me what I wanted. Don't it say there in the scripture, ask, seek, and knock? Are you supposed to do what I'm asking? He's like, that is in there, but it's not quite what you think that means. Eh? But hold the phone. So I thought this whole prayer, Lord's Prayer, was supposed to be a formula of how, if I pray these magic words, things are supposed to happen. He goes, no, go back to the scripture, go back to the scripture. Read it again. Okay, let me go back. What does it say? Because I thought, yeah, okay, let me go back. What does it say? What does it say? I'm not alerting God to what's happening on earth. He already knows. So then what is this prayer thing about if I'm not notifying Him of the thing that's happening? And I'm supposed to be getting Him to intervene because I want Him to change stuff for me. Well, prayer reminds us of what is and what could be through Jesus. It teaches us to depend on God for everything rather than looking to ourselves to solve all the problems or viewing ourselves as the source of life. You know, sometimes we look at our accomplishments and so we think, oh, well, I don't need to pray about this. I just know I can go and XYZ is going to happen. God is saying, no, I am your source. If you go out and start doing things out of your own might, out of your own strength, it's going to end up backfiring. So don't do that. So it's not a formula and I can just go and do things on my own. Because you did give me gifts. You did give me skills and abilities. Why am I praying again? Well, Jesus doesn't just give them this formulaic prayer. He also shows them two illustrations to help them realize. He gives them real life examples of human relationships. Again, so we can get our minds wrapped around, why do we pray? If it's not a formula of praying Abba Father and then the things, What is there? So Jesus gives them those two examples. One of a friend, right, and at an inopportune time, and then of a parent responding to the child's request. So let's go back to the scripture and see what's there. The two illustrations give emphasis that we who are selfish human beings, yeah, pretty selfish, thinking about numero uno most of the time, and then the people we like, right? So it's me first, then my family, and my best friends, and then the other people I like outside of them. But Jesus is saying, yeah, look. If you, who are selfish people, know how to give, know how to help your friend out, even when it's inconvenient, and even as a parent, you know how to give to your children what they ask for. Why do you not think that God, the very God you serve, who created you in his image, would not be able to do that as well? Even more so. So then I'm thinking again, oh, okay, so you give us these human relationships. We are imperfect people, and yet we still know how to give to others. What are you teaching us, God? That you care for us, you're willing to give to us. That actually sounds fine and dandy. But the hard lesson still to learn is this. God is not a convenience store. Nor is he a vending machine where we stop by and pick up items we forgot to pack for the journey. You know, sometimes I like to go to the coast after church. And if I get in my car and I realize, oh, I didn't bring a snack, I didn't do that, there's stores along the way I can stop and I can just go inside, catch me some chips, give me something to drink, whatever, and then go on my merry way. And I think sometimes, Sister Vicki, we think about God like that. He's this convenience store. So on my way to wherever I'm going, I can just stop, go in, get in line, pick my stuff, pay for it, boom, gone. I'll just ask God for what I need, what I want, boom, done. Or the vending machine. I like vending machines. We have them at my job in some of our offices. And if I get thirsty, I can go up to them and go, oh, let's put in some coins. A3, boom, yes, that's what I want. A3 comes out, boom, Coke, or Dr. Pepper, because I like Dr. Pepper. Boom, Dr. Pepper, there it is. Oh, wait, do I want something else? Oh, they got cookies in here. They have chips. Ooh, pretzels. E4, let me put some more coins in. E4, press the button. Boom. Wait a minute. Chips came out instead of pretzels. You know how you bang on it and it shake it down and then you get your pretzels? Well, some of us think of God like that. He's that vending machine. If I put in the proper coins, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to press E4 and he's going to answer my prayer. Not quite. But it says right there in the text, ask, seek, knock. If I put in the coins for E4, then I should be able to get what I'm asking for. Right? Not quite. Go back to the scripture. Because this is where we get disappointed with God. And this is why we want to fall out with God and have our tantrums and then walk away because we get angry with him. Because he didn't give us what we wanted when we wanted it. But be reminded, he's not a vending machine. He is not the convenience store that you drive by, go in, pick up your thing, pay for it, and walk back out. Oh, that's hard. We need to read the fine print, which really technically isn't that fine. It's just at the end of the chapter there. Jesus says, your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Oh, so it's not, help me win the lottery, help me win the lottery, help me win the lottery, and then Jesus is going to help me win the lottery. By the way, I tell my coworkers that all the time. If I don't show up come Monday, It's because I've won the lottery. But I haven't won the lottery, so I've got to go back tomorrow. This is true. Brother Fred says you got to buy a ticket first. Maybe that's why I haven't been winning the lottery. Okay, that is problematic. Okay, note to self. Buy the tickets so then I can have a chance to win. Okay, all right. So in that fine print that isn't so fine, Jesus is saying that asking, the seeking, and the knocking is not those things of this world. It's not even your own will. It is the answer to all prayers. Well, what is that, Pastor Teresa? God himself. So when you're asking, when you're seeking, when you're knocking, right there it says in the scripture, God will give you his Holy Spirit. Well, what do we need the Holy Spirit for? I'm already saved. I got the Holy Spirit. It's like, oh, dear one. You need that Holy Spirit to help you live out the rest of the prayer. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to recognize God's provision. You're going to think you got your education and you got that job because you're so gifted and talented, and you forget that God gave you the ability to learn. God gave you the ability to do the things that you do so that you could get gainful employment and pay for your housing, your transportation, all the things. It's not because of your ability. It's because God provided. Oh, that's why I need the Holy Spirit. Yes. And the Holy Spirit will guide you to the rest of the truths about knowing who God is. And so when you ask, when you seek, when you knock, be asking for more and more of God himself. Yeah. That's what we need. We are going to have times in our lives where we simply want the vending machine. Please, Jesus, can you just answer this one prayer for me real quick? Because sometimes he'd be taking forever. But when we have his Holy Spirit in us, guiding us, showing us the way, hoping us to not become defeated because we don't see God moving fast enough, we realize, I'm on the winning side. And even though it doesn't look like it, God is still at work. And my prayers are for naught. Why? Because he's giving me more and more of himself. I am living out that relationship that God wants with us. So when that disciple said to Jesus, teach us how to pray, he was saying, teach us how to have more and more and more and more of God himself. Not bending God to my will, not making him do my things, press that button, E4, here comes my Coke. No, he's not that God. He's not a vending machine. And I know, just if we're honest with ourselves, we won't always necessarily want God himself because we want those things. Remember last week, Martha was scattered because she was thinking about all the things. God is saying, forget about all the things. Focus on me. Build your relationship with me, and we'll take care of all the things. Sometimes our attention will be on getting something from God. Like on my prayer list right now, real true story, I'm concerned about my adult son living in LA. I want him to have transportation. I want him to be gainfully employed so that he's not always asking mama for money. But really, so he can be independent and recognize God's hand in his life. You know, it's amazing. I had to digress for just a moment, Sister Sherry, about how God is moving in my son's life. I'm so proud that both of my children, they're adults, young adults, they know God for themselves. And so he'll say to me, Mom, I know God is working and I see his hand, but this is really, really hard. I'm like, yes, son, that's it. Life is really, really hard. And if you did not have God in your life, Can you even imagine what that might be like? He's like, no, I don't even want to imagine that. I'm glad I have him in my life. I'm like, amen. I'm glad you do too. But that's what's on my prayer list constantly, Sister Vicky, is God, please provide for him so that he's not being like Martha, worrying about these other details, when he should really be focusing on serving you. We want things from God. We want him to change our circumstances. I prayed a lot of times over the years on, God, please change the circumstance. And Jesus is trying to get his disciples and us, because we're his modern day disciples, to ask for the Holy Spirit to show up in our daily lives so that we can walk with God and live in right relationship with him. God himself is the answer to all our prayers. Because when we are in right relationship with him, when we are constantly seeking his Holy Spirit to live in us, that's when we experience God's presence, God's life, his love, his beauty, his generosity, his compassion, his forgiveness, his wisdom, his justice, his mercy, and the list goes on and on. So don't forget, be asking, be seeking, continue to knock and just nag God, I need more of you. So that when I'm in these circumstances of life, my mind is right and I'm not dissuaded by all the things that's going on. Because Lord knows, if you watch the news, there's a lot of things going on that can easily distract us. Stop worrying about asking things and getting things from God. Look for the change in us. Because as we develop our relationship with God, that's where the change happens. Sometimes it is our circumstances. But most of the time, it's the change in us that is needed. And that's God's desire. That's why he says, if you ask, if you seek, if you knock for my Holy Spirit, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give it to you. Gladly. Like a father would give his child whatever they're asking for. Like that friend who's going to, oh, I might be a little irritated because it's the wrong time of day to be asking me. It's the wrong moment. But I'm going to give anyway. God says, I'm better than that. I'm not going to hold a grudge against you. I'm not going to be angry with you. I'm not going to become impatient. I'm actually going to give you more of me. The takeaway today, my friends, is summed up in a quote from Michael Marsh. He's a Christian blogger. I was checking out his blog and listen to what he says. While God can and sometimes does change circumstances, I am increasingly convinced that God, more often than not, changes us. God's self-giving sustains, nourishes, strengthens, empowers, emboldens, and enables us to face the circumstances of life. We do so sometimes with joy and gratitude, and other times with pain and loss, but always with God. On my better days, I know this, and that's actually enough. On the other days, ? He says, it's, Lord, teach me to pray. End of quote. So this blogger understands the role of prayer. It's not a time to share a shopping list of requests to God on how we want him to move and what we want him to do. It's not a time to mindlessly recite a prayer by memory. I mean, it is good. It's totally fine to memorize the Lord's Prayer and to pray that prayer. But God wants more than just those recitation of those words. He actually wants relationship. That's what he wants. So, prayer is a lifestyle, one in which we acknowledge God's presence in our life and we rely on Him as our source of life. We don't only look to Him to change our circumstances, but we expect Him to change us using our circumstances. Amen? All for His glory, so that He can move us from glory to look more like Him, right? That's God's ultimate goal. We become more like Him because we have more of His Spirit living in our lives every day, showing up full force so that we can reflect who God is. We were created in the very image of God. Let's pray. Holy God, thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You that You continue to teach us. Even after years of studying Your word, there's always something new and fresh. Thank You, God. Thank You for Your holy word. And we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. You show us in this text that if we ask, if we seek, if we continue to knock on heaven's door, asking for more of You in our lives, You will not withhold that best gift of the Holy Spirit. You would give it to us. And so we ask now, we seek now, we are knocking now, Lord God, that You would give us more and more of Yourself. Help us this very week to experience Your Holy Spirit afresh and anew in our lives. Open our eyes to how You are changing us for Your glory, using the very circumstances in which we find ourselves. Help us, Lord God, to be light to others, to be salt, to do like Mary from last week, choose the better thing, choose the best thing, which is a relationship with You. We pray now for those who are listening in on our worship services and maybe thinking about giving their life to You. May Your Holy Spirit touch their hearts, reveal to them who You are. And we thank You, God, for doing it. We thank You for those who have decided to give their life to You just by listening to the word of God, by being surrounded by those who love You, Lord. We thank You. Protect them from the enemy. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. Let us close now with a wonderful song and be dismissed to our potluck. Oh, those of you who are with us virtually, you have to virtually join us in with food. But if you want to, come on down. We're still here. We'll be here eating and fellowshipping together.
And what a great song to be singing, The Potter's Hand.
All of my days are held in Your hands, crafted into Your perfect plan. You gently call me into Your presence, guiding me by Your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, to live my life through Your eyes. I'm captured by Your holy calling, set me apart. I know You're drawing me to Yourself. Take me, hold me, use me, fill me, I give my life to the Father's hand. Call me, God.
May those words be our prayer this week, to give our lives to the potter's hand. Go in God's grace, go in his peace. He is with you. Even when we depart from this place, he is with each of us. So know his grace, know his truth this week. Know that he cares about all the things in your life, and he is not leaving you alone. Shalom. God's peace be with you.